The concern on this Wednesday is that Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, says the rate of the virus spread is increasing. Now, that does not match, by the way, what the World Health Organization is saying. They're saying that the virus is not accelerating. But in New York and Michigan, in other places where the testing has ramped up dramatically, the number of positives is ramping up. That makes sense mathematically, of course. Obviously, if you're going to do a lot more tests, 50,000 a day and around the country and concentrated much in New York and many in Michigan as well, the numbers are going to dramatically go up. That doesn't mean that the virus is increasing in its rate of spread. It means it's being identified. We're getting a more full picture, if you will. We're getting a better look at the population and how many people have it. That's what we're getting. So far, we have not experienced what Italy has experienced, but we're running a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks behind Italy, and things are not good there. More than 70,000 infected. 7,000 have died. Not a good look in Italy. It's bad. And so the governor, very concerned, says new projections suggest New York will now need up to 140,000 hospital beds. It has a current capacity of 53,000. Now, they're building right now. They are building right now as fast as they can. There will be a need for 40,000 ICU beds with ventilators, he says. Right now, there are only about 4,000. These, of course, are worst-case scenarios, worst-case projections. And there is still a lot of good information coming back. A lot of good information coming back on the use of these malaria drugs in conjunction with other drugs, with, you know, to make sure that we can stop the infection. So there's a lot of evidence out there that the malarial drugs will work. And there's small studies, but hey, when people's lives are on the line, we can try this. By the way, it brings me to another story here. Because, where is that? I have to share this story with you. It's absolutely bizarre. But a man has died after taking chloroquine phosphate. Chloroquine phosphate is the drug used to fight malaria in conjunction with these other drugs. And he took it because he saw it on a bottle, because chloroquine phosphate is also used to clean fish tanks. Clean fish tanks. No kidding. To clean fish tanks. And so if you drink chemicals intended to clean your fish tank, it will kill you. But his wife, who drank the same thing, this happened in Arizona, by the way, is blaming the president of the United States. Well, he said it was a cure. You weren't even sick. You didn't have the illness. They're trying to ward off the illness. How bizarre, right? All right, my next guest, Richard Ebling, the AIER Senior Fellow at the BB&T, Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise. I get a little sidetracked there. At the Citadel, Professor, welcome back.
Great to be with you again. I hope you're doing well.
Things are fine here in my cell. How are things in your cell?
Where actually cases are rising in South Carolina, but compared to places like New York or California, et cetera, we're not doing anywhere as badly.
So this is the problem with all of this. Nobody can quite figure out what the truth is or where we go from here. How bad is it going to get? Are we going to be as bad as Italy, where now they have 70,000 infections and 7,000 deaths? You're kind of a numbers guy. What do you see? What do you feel? What does your gut tell you? Anything?
Well, I think that we're going to see worse numbers than we have. I'm not a medical expert. I'm an economist. But I do try to follow this and apply my knowledge and way of thinking to understand the numbers. And I think obviously we're going to see an increase in numbers, because with the increase in testing, we're going to find out how many people have had the virus, either these asymptomatic versions where you really don't have any bad feelings physically, or you have a version of like a really bad flu. And then of course, we're going to find as the testing increases that those in the older categories with preconditions are ill precisely because of this, and that will show larger numbers of both serious illness and, tragically, people who pass away.
Oh, certainly.
But I do think that the curve will not be anywhere as catastrophic as some of the more extreme people are saying.
I'm with you on that. And if you have COPD or diabetes or high blood pressure, or you're fighting cancer and you have an immune system that is compromised in some way, you face bigger challenges. That's all true. It's also true with other illnesses you may get. Some indications are now that this might be about three times more contagious than the flu and roughly 10 times more fatal overall. But having said all of that, we are working diligently, it looks like, with the state of New York and others to bring in hospital ships, building temporary hospitals. Temporary hospitals are under construction with the aid of the federal government, the president and the governor of New York, for the most part, working well together. Some disagreement over ventilators that happened the last 24 hours we'll get to later. But the president yesterday, let's focus on your area of expertise, said, I want to get America back to work by Easter. He said, I'm going to follow the doctor's advice, but by Easter would be good to get people back to work. And I'm already hearing people saying, I'm ready to go back to work. Now, I wonder how long America will sit on its hands, even with that threat of that illness out there. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that what's important is to leave the flexibility in the economy for the adaptations and adjustments that are necessary. For all of the talk, and it is serious, of in New York and California and other places, these clampdowns of stay in place, in other words, basically stay home and just go for some food shopping. The fact is that other sectors of the economy, because of the changing patterns of needs, these medical pieces of equipment, the ventilators, the masks, et cetera, or the growth in the demand for home deliveries, actually tens of thousands of jobs are being opened by Amazon and other organizations. But what you need is not to be clamping everybody down, because we need these adjustments. And we have to be able to rev up to supply all of these products and other needs that we can't even imagine yet while this proceeds. What we don't want is a planned economy where the government is either commanding you to do X, when retrospectively we're going to find out that if you allowed the market to work, it really should have been a Y and a Z and not
right.
The X.
Yeah, big construction continues.
What's important is individual intelligence and thoughtfulness. Wash the hands. Don't be too close to a person. But to have the flexibility to allow the market, which means us, adapt and adjust cautiously to be able to prevent this becoming a terrible economic situation.
Right, because as the president said, you don't want the cure to be worse than the disease, and that's true. We do see some bright spots out there. It's not only all these delivery companies hiring. Now, those are not, you know, really high-paying jobs, but big construction moving forward, highways, bridges, that sort of thing, still going forward. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word, Professor.
What is important is to be cautious and thoughtful towards yourself and your family and your coworkers. But we should not run headlong into a planned and controlled economy in which politicians and bureaucrats would try to anticipate what to do, thinking they know better than the adaptability of free enterprise and free markets, even in a crisis like this.
I agree. Professor, be safe and be well. We'll talk again very soon. Richard Ebling from the Citadel in South Carolina. Sir, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The No Panic Zone, you're in it on the Steve Gruber Show, back after this.
You've seen the headlines. Clean water has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best home water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier manufacturer of whole home water systems and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves homeowners statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over a million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.